and unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect Dharma is rarely met with even in 100,000 million kalpas. Having it to see and listen to remember and accept, I vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words. Well, good morning, everyone. I can't quite believe I'm here. We came racing up the hill in a wonderful way. It's lovely to see you all. And I've been hearing about this session. I've been sitting with you and feeling it all the way through the week. I'm so happy for all of you. And I can feel it right now. I thought since we're doing Jukai this afternoon that it would be well to talk about the precepts a bit. And I'll talk about them during the ceremony because there'll be people here who it will be brand new to the two. So at least I found something that is interesting, but won't have to share this afternoon. The precepts always look like, I always think, when I first read them, I always felt like I was being shaken a finger at. You've got to be good. You've got to behave yourself. Don't kill anything. Don't lie. And of course, that's one aspect of them. Of course, we don't want to kill anything, and we do want to try not to. But to feel that there's something on high making us be like that just sets up a kind of rebellion. Well, you can't make me. You know, I don't want to be like that. So it's really important to think about them in another way, as a way of expressing our deepest desire, our best wish for ourselves and for others. It's a recognition of what we're really like and what overcomes us over and over, what becomes a kind of problem for us because we do lie and we do kill. We have to. We even have to lie because you really can't say the total truth. You really can't reach the truth with words, even though we try and try. So it's a recognition, really, of our effort. Our effort to keep a wholesome way, not only for ourselves, but for everything around us, for our world. And that truly is our deepest wish. So I suppose you all know them, but I brought the ancient version of them. Which starts out the same as we know, Panitapata. No, I'm not going to read those. I'm going to read the translation. I undertake the precept to refrain from destroying living creatures. Undertake the precept to refrain from taking that which is not given. The precept to refrain from sexual activities. Undertake the precept to refrain from incorrect speech. Undertake the precept to refrain from intoxicating drinks and drugs which lead to carelessness. I undertake to refrain from eating at the forbidden time, which is afternoon. I undertake the precept to refrain from dancing, singing, music, and going to entertainments. I undertake the precept to refrain from wearing garlands, using perfumes, and beautifying the body with cosmetics. Listen carefully now. I undertake the precept to refrain from lying on a high or luxurious sleeping place. I always think this is the best, a high bed. Very bad, very bad. I undertake to refrain from accepting gold and silver, money. Now, this is still, these are still real. They are still being practiced at Abayagiri. You can't give money to the monks at Abayagiri. You can't even touch them. I can't even touch the monks at Abayagiri. They're very, very careful about keeping the precepts, and they have more than these. The precepts come from actual experience. They came slowly in the time of Buddha. So they're probably the most authentic part of what we get from Shakyamuni Buddha's time, at least some of them. Because when they began to gather together around Buddha, it became a sangha, which means a community. And as everyone knows, a community has rough places where things don't work out so well between people. And so they would go to Buddha and say, you know, Charlie lied to me, or Joe stole my razor. What are we going to do about that? And Buddha would say, well, let's just make a precept about that. Let's just say no lying, no taking what's not given. And then little by little, they accumulated quite a long list, which we have boiled down to a list of 10. But we can think what it's based on is how to live in community. It's based on the sense of sangha and how to correct imperfections of connection, relationship that are inevitable, that happen to all of us all the time. We have so many intentions, everybody, and of course they don't always connect in the same way. So our precepts appear much more simple. It's just no killing, no lying, no stealing, no sexual misconduct, no abusing alcohol or drugs. And every one of us gets to choose how to manage those things. And then no praising self or blaming others, no dwelling on past mistakes, no hoarding materials or teachings, no being angry, which is everyone's favorite. And the last one is the most important, really, because it sums up all of them. No abusing the three treasures. No abusing Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. Which, in truth, is each one of us. Each one of us carries the three treasures as we live. And the three treasures live through our world and each other. And so the abuse starts out with our lack of confidence in ourself. And confidence means faith. Confidence, it means with faith. To have enough confidence in ourselves to be able to have confidence in other people. In other words, to trust. That trusting itself is the basis for how to be with ourselves and with others. Because we really don't know. We really don't know ourselves from moment to moment, what we're going to say, what we're going to do. Our life is a big surprise, really, all the time. We try to pretend that we know what we're doing. We try to pretend that we're together. Yeah, I'm together. I know what I'm doing. Except I can't find Jeffrey in the morning. But we don't know others either, even though we think, oh, I know him. I know him well. I've known him for years. We know this much of each other. So trust is a big deal. If we can't trust each other with the not knowing, then we're always at sea and always nervous and anxious and uncomfortable. Ooh, what that person gonna do to me now? To really trust, to drop the sense of protecting ourselves and just meet what we meet and say, tell me your truth. Tell me who you are. I want to know. And you know, we all want to be known. We long for it. And we can do that for each other. So that's really what the precepts are giving us, is the courage to be the way we want to be. And to remind us when we aren't, or to remind us, you know, when we're eating, we've already killed a lot of creatures, or somebody has, in order to sustain our life. And so in eating, we are carrying on somebody else's life, even if it's a carrot. Somebody has killed a carrot and pulled it out of the ground. I don't think it screams, but it is a sacrifice. So just keeping in mind as we pass our way through day after day, of the nourishing and delicious way that our life keeps unfolding. And be aware of it. Listen carefully to what people are telling. Listen to the birds and the wind in the trees. And remember, we're not just a thinking person here, this one with a name who has a lot of issues and is walking around. You're a part of the whole of it, a part of the entirety. And it's informing us and living us as we live. So that's what I brought about the precepts. With the knowledge that if you're going to be at the Dukkha ceremony, just as if you're at a wedding or a funeral or a baby blessing or anywhere in Buddhism, you will hear the precepts, because that's what we do. The precepts are received and given over and over and over. And though Judy will be receiving the precepts, lucky she, this afternoon, we will all be receiving them with her. We can't help it. It just goes right in. So are there questions? Chris? Well, you all are tired of the Zendo, I think. I think you need to go out.
Well, we do have some words that we want to say. We didn't get to a chance to gather and say thanks.
Oh.
We do want to do that, if everybody could just hold on.
Absolutely, do that.
Could I think maybe turn off the recording, Violet?